There we go. So good morning, evening and afternoon, everybody. This is Jay, also known as Jay Forn. Welcome to the Purple Hour. For the newcomers in the crowd, the Purple Hour is where you can ask questions about CI/CD automation and any kind of work I do in my area of expertise. This whole thing will last anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And if you have any questions, please do put them in the thread available. It should be in the announcement in the Office Hours general channel. As a quick reminder, because I get the question every time, CI/CD means automating the testing, building and publishing of Resonite to avoid easily avoidable mistakes, for instance publishing the wrong branch or something like that. So let's get right into the questions, and I see that Orion has some. So the first one is arm knoppit, the second one is arm tiponks. I forgot what tiponks is. On the third one, what has the purple creature been up to lately? I'm gonna do that in the wrong order. I'm gonna start with the third one. So I haven't been up to much lately. I'm really busy in my off-Resonite life. So there's still some stuff in progress Resonite-wise, but I've mainly been busy with work and etc. Mainly creating challenges for Bellingcat. If you don't know about Bellingcat, they do open source intelligence investigations, and they have the challenge platform. I made them a bunch of challenges. Been busy with stuff like that. So arm snoppit, those two are gonna be very quick because I never have anything to say about those. So ARM, Snoppit, I love ARM. Most of my newer machines are all ARM. Most of my hosting that I use is ARM, so that's why I want to put ARM everywhere, including in the headless. ARM Timpunks. I really don't know what to say about this. Not much to say tonight. I'm also a bit tired, so that plays on that. Maybe I'll come to that later, but for now, nothing much to say. Nuke Raccoon says, you posted right after I finished calling the endocrinologist about estrogen. How does that make you feel? I'm just gonna say great timing. As always. Let's see. I'm also gonna link the question thread in the voice in the text chat for this channel, so nobody misses it. Yeah, Nesquack mentioned CI/CD means continuous integration, continuous deployment. So once again, you push a change like in the code of Resonite, it gets automatically picked up by your robot. It gets tested, built, and if you want, published, for instance, to Steam. That's the whole point. No manual interaction to avoid like silly mistakes. Let's see, I see a few people typing. Yeah, I don't have much to talk about today on my own. Which is a bit sad, honestly. New Caracoon says, remind us again, what do you work on Resonite? You know what? I'm gonna grant you that one. I work primarily on CI/CD on automation, as I mentioned in the opening. CI/CD continuous integration, continuous deployment, automating testing, and etc. But then I also work on the headless on other areas like that. I see a question by Nivanda. Talking about ARM on headless, would a Raspberry Pi 5 or some more powerful ARM SBC do the job? Yes, actually Orion KLRTK that is in the chat right now runs the headless on a phone that runs Linux. So your Raspberry Pi 5 will be more than powerful enough to run a Resonate headless. At least I'm pretty sure of it. Honestly, I have an old computer lying around, a Power Mac, and I've been debating about trying to make a funny Power PC port for the Resonate headless to see if I could run it on that machine. But honestly, it might not be worth the effort. I don't know many people that still use Power processors in this day and age. But yeah. Oh, there we go. Orion replied, yes, that would be more than powerful enough. I've been a bit lazy on the ARM support. I'd like to finish it before the end of the year, at least. That's my personal deadline. This is not an engagement, once again. This is just my personal objective for the thing. Revy asks, what's your opinion of ARM on the desktop? Personally, I've only seen motherboard with solid CPUs on ARM outside of servers, which the budget gamer doesn't like, as I can't upgrade without basically swapping basically the entire system. I like ARM on the desktop. I'm gonna use desktop really loosely there, including laptop computers as well, because those make for usually fairly cheap machines that you can install Linux on them, and you can have like a really cheap computer that's powerful enough for most of the stuff that you can give like to the grandma or something like that. For gaming, I'm not sure yet. Maybe one day we'll get ARM CPUs that can be swappable with proper gamer stuff for ARM. I don't know. This whole thing is still developing. Like, ARM servers are still, I say recent, but it's still a few years old now. But they got good fairly recently, so. Well, I mean really, really good. So yeah, we'll have to see in the future. But I like ARM desktops because, well, you can get something powerful for not much. Let's see, U1F98A says, I remember my friend trying to get graphical client running on ARM. I think just the engine process, not renderer, I can't remember. But from what I remember, that Windows equals NoPit. Yeah, Orion once again managed to run the graphical client on his phone. I do not like that. Stop abusing phones. Yeah, that poor phone runs way too much stuff. Grant asks, red? No, purple. You haven't read the title? Grant also says, abuse tablets instead. No, stop abusing those poor mobile devices. Come on. It hurts me to see them like used like that. Grant says red is part of purple though. Just purple. Just purple, no red, just purple. Orion says they like it, don't worry. Yeah, I'm not sure if your phone likes having 16 people streaming videos off of it. In addition to the headless server, of course. Nivanda says, I abuse my Raspberry Pi every day with the GregTech server. Ooh. I remember like in the really early days of Raspberry Pi, everybody wanted those to run Minecraft servers. And at the time, I remember the performance being completely, like really, really, really bad performance. U1F98A says, I mean, if it's a Surface Pro, it would natively run Resonate with any cursed. The AI GPU might be an abuse victim, though. Yeah. I actually run Resonate with integrated GPU on my on my laptop because it doesn't have a dedicated GPU yet. So yeah, it's a bit rough already on that, so I can't imagine on a Surface Pro. What do you mean that's not fun, Grant? Come on, end us with the curse stuff. I want my hardware to scream. No, come on. Why does everybody wants to be posted in stuff like tech crimes or software gore nowadays? Come on, respect your hardware a bit. Well, what next? You're gonna unsolder the battery of the phone, of a phone, solder directly an adapter to the mains on that, and use that as a server? Oh, come on, Orion, come on. See, but please, I upgraded my iPad, so no UTM, so I can't be bothered to install Windows on the OnePlus 6 for the fifth time. What do you mean, Windows on the OnePlus 6? What do you mean by that? You can do that? Ravi says, from my experience, the more you abuse your hardware, the more reliable it is. It depends. Oh god, what's that? No. Is that officially supported? I hope not. No, that's not officially supported, come on. Nivanda asks, maybe a bit out of your scope, but is DSP generating audio signals and processing them functionally planned in the future? Yes, there is actually a GitHub issue about that. People ask regularly about it. Let me find it actually. DSP. Audio DSP, right there. So if you have a GitHub account, I can recommend upvoting this particular issue about DSP. Grant asks, favorite pizza topping? That's a really good one. I like simple stuff, so usually it's just cheese. Though I really love stuff like pepperoni. And if you want me to talk about pizzas a bit more, in Finland there is a chain of like pizza restaurants called Pizza Express. One of their best pizza in there is named Abortion. And I'm not even joking on the name, that's literally how it's named. And for the name, it's a surprisingly good pizza. Hold on, let me take a screenshot of the website. You'll see it's great. Oh no, it's named Abortion in English. Hold on, I just need to go on the ordering website even though... No, is it Pizza Express? Which one is it? Hold on. Nivanda asks, are you Finnish? Not yet, but I've been living in Finland for almost 5 years now. I was originally born in Annecy in France, right next to Geneva. Yeah, that's Pizza Express that does that. But don't worry, I'm working on the thing of not being French anymore. It's in progress. Let's see, CIC, I live 2 hours ferry ride south in Estonia. Oh, nice. Yeah, I go to Estonia every now and then with some friends for like day trip. Hold on, I almost got the pizza and the website is... where is it? Oh yeah, there's also this one. There we go. Yeah, those pizzas have really great names. And those ones are really good. So if one day you're in Finland, try Pizza Express and ask for the divorce pizza. And I see Dionymus asks, kind of tangent to data warehousing and knowledge management, but what are your opinions on integrating some sort of single source of truth as far as combing through all the information available on Resonate? The wiki, which has loads of undocumented stuff on help tab, only go so far before having more jarring context switches. I have no idea. That's the short answer. I'd have to think more about that, because that's a really good question in itself. He says, can I get the divorce with the side of abortion, J4? Probably. You know what, yeah. That was me earlier today. I decided to get a nice pizza after work. Tony Awesome 3 says, looking forward to when do you get to reviewing my 3 HPR that 15 times performance boost that I've been sitting for months. Yes, I almost forgot about that one. Sorry. I forgot to bring it up this week. I'll write that down so I don't forget. Give me one sec. There we go. It's in my notes now. It won't be forgotten. Sorry about that. Pit Express here is just boring. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really boring names. Ah, come on. Okay, I'm a bit afraid to ask Quack, but what is a Sloppy Joe? I don't like that name. Minced beef sandwich. Huh. So called because the beef sauce is sloppy, you need to wash your hands after eating. Well, yeah, if you eat something with your hands, you gotta wash your hands before and after. That's just something you do. It's like they're covered. Oh, that kind of food. I see. Yeah, but to come back on the question about the knowledge management, I think the best way we could do that is probably fit all the info we can on the wiki and then pull from the wiki from within Resonate. There's still one item that it needs. I think the PDF export for the wiki is still a bit broken, but once this is repaired, we could have like wiki browsers directly on platform. So, and yes, the wiki is missing a lot of info, but it's the place where we have the most info right now. And so it makes sense to expand that instead of creating yet another platform or like repository instead, like avoiding to scatter knowledge around. Yeah. Northern European pizzas are legitimately hilarious to me as an American. So much cursed gold and anything. The wackiest pizza joint near me, where I used to live, can dream of. I'm sorry to ruin your dreams, but most of the pizzas here are pretty normal. Yeah, Margherita, you have the three cheese pizza. I don't know how you call those in English, but like three different cheeses. It's like most of them are pretty standard for pizzas. Oh, they're called three cheese pizza. Okay. Yeah, I know on the internet you see stuff like, yeah, you know, there's a Swedish pizza with the surströmming on it. But I've never seen that. Yeah, honestly, I've never seen weird pizzas here so far. There was only that one restaurant that has like that chocolate pizza at some point. I think it was in town. It was a bit fancy, and I never go there, so it doesn't really count. Oh yeah, if one day you come to Finland and want a pizza fast as well, you can go to Koti Pizza. It's a good chain as well, they also have pretty standard pizza there. And they're usually, well, very very fast. Funny enough, faster than Pizza Express. If you can believe that. Even though there's Express in the name. The Pizza Hour, yeah. I had pizza earlier today. Pizza is good, you know. Quack says, seeing as my apprenticeship only touched upon CI/CD very lightly using Git hooks and some GitLab stuff, would you know some comprehensive way to get into the subject as a whole, or is it more specific to the tech stack? I feel a little overwhelmed with it. Basically. You can look at CI/CD as a whole. Generally, it's the same concept reused over and over. For instance, the concept of workflows, jobs, steps, and etc., which are pretty standardized over all the solutions. So if you take GitLab, GitHub Actions, Azure Pipelines, and etc., some terms are a bit different, but it's generally the same. But then the best way to learn about CI/CD is to pick your poison. For instance, register yourself a GitLab or GitHub account, open the documentation on one screen or one side of your only screen if you only have one, your ID on the other, and you start trying to write some CI for it. Like, at least that's how I learned doing most of what I do nowadays. If you want, I can give you some links to get started in the most popular ones. But generally, it's like, if you've touched GitHub Actions at some point, you'll still be fairly comfortable with GitLab CI/CD, even though it's very different. There's the same concepts apply that there as well. It's like learning to programming. Whether you do C, C#, and etc., some concepts will be very similar and will come back. So knowledge can be transposed fairly easily. Of course, there is some outsiders that have like really exotic systems for CI/CD, but usually you don't see those in the wild very often. You can also, CI/CD can also be abstracted. For instance, have a set of templates on regardless of the tech stack, just feed a few variables, build stack, and etc. So yeah. Yeah, I see that the CI/CD process has been well established in the thread. Yeah, basically, you push changes, you wait 5 minutes, and you get a ping that everything has failed and that somehow you broke something. Grand asks, what do you think about NixOS? Oh, I love that question. As a disclaimer, before I start talking about that and before people get very, very, very angry at me for having opinions on a Linux distribution, I tried NixOS maybe 5-6 years ago as my daily driver. I daily drove NixOS for something like 6 months. And I will say, great idea on paper, not so great in execution. Basically, it made my development jobs, my development job, pretty much a hassle, because you have to configure like each little environment. I call them environment. I forgot what the exact word is, with like an xconfig to install the proper dev tools on, etc. And I found that very annoying. Yeah, Nixshell. On the server side, I don't see much the point of Nix, because we have things like cloud init, for instance, that I use a lot personally, that basically do what Nix does, but basically for any distro. So whether I have a Fedora, RHEL, Debian, Ubuntu host, I just throw the cloud init and it will just install and run what I want on startup and just spin up the machine how I want. You can also see ProboPrime mentioned Terraform earlier. Well, I'm a bit weird, so I use stuff like that, more specifically OpenTofu, for my own stuff. So it's basically almost fully automated. Yeah, cloud init. Let me link you to the website. It's basically some standard way to set up stuff on servers, like stuff like that is used on Hetzner, for instance. If you deploy a Hetzner cloud instance, you can just specify the cloud init. It will install all the packages you want, set up the user, set up the SSH keys, run any commands you want, install Docker if you want, pull some images, spin up the service, whatever you name it. Usually it can do it, until it can't. Let's see. Johnny Awesome says, my favorite pastime is triggering 30 sets of 9,000 tests in our CI because I fixed a typo on your docs. You might want to scope those CI workflows a bit. Otherwise, you're gonna end up like the official GitLab CI/CD pipeline. I'm just gonna send a picture of that pipeline because it's, let's say it's a fun one. Let's see. Yes, I know Prime, XKCD standards, yes. 927. I used to cite that small comic all the time. Do I have a finished pipeline to show? But yeah, cloud init is pretty standard and usually it's supported by most cloud platforms. At least the big ones. Okay, do I have the oh yeah, that's a good pipeline. Yeah, there you go. Here is a sample GitLab pipeline that runs how many, like 80 jobs and about a bit less than 4,000 tests. Those things are, my definition of fun is very different from others, from other people's. So this is very fun to me to make. On right, but most people hate this. New Kirakun has thoughts on that new Yinglet simulator game I've been seeing on my feed. How is it called? I think I've. What was that webcomic about Yinglet? I used to read that at some point. Out of Placers, yes. Yeah, I remember reading that a really long time ago, but I haven't seen that game. How is the game called? Grant says, one thing I like about Nix is not worrying about remembering every small tweak I've had to make, like a specific commit of the driver to make my fingerprint sensor on my laptop work. One thing I don't like is that Envision is broken and I need a replacement for its profile. Oh yeah, I've seen, I think it's mentioned on the Linux VR Adventure wiki, that Nix has some issues with Envision. But nowadays, before buying any piece of hardware, I try to be very, very, very thorough with my research and make sure everything works out of the box on Linux, because in the past I've wasted some amount of money buying hardware that never worked on Linux. For instance, I have that really fancy capture card from Elgato. That thing will never work on Linux, and it never has worked. Most capture cards, like HDMI capture cards, just are detected the webcam. This one is not. I don't think anybody will bother making a driver for it. So holy hell, the audio on the video linked from the homepage is hi-fi. I don't think I've ever heard that video. Oh yeah, that sounds like an official Ubuntu video. Out of place, sir, but Vasilia, Friendly fan thing on Steam. Yeah, but what is the name of the game Out of Placers? Let's see. Oh yes, Yinglet Creator, I found it. A character creator that lets you design your very own collection of Yinglets here. You know what? Let's try it after this. And download this in the background. There we go. Sys kept nice is the big problem on NixOS 4 and Vision. Yeah, honestly, when I tested Nix, it was more frustrating than anything. Yeah, that's what I remember of it, which is not a really good memory. We have a tech for skipping most CIs, but it's Google's money fueling our GitHub actions anyway, so who cares? Well, it's if it's free. Funnily enough, I think Google has been wanting to invest into GitLab, which is, well, you probably know, direct competitor to GitHub. So it'd be funny that they give. That they fuel GitHub actions as well. What I find funny is that some companies basically recreate the mom, can we have GitHub at home, and GitHub at home is just a GitLab instance running on Azure, and some lots of companies are actually doing that, which is pretty funny. So it's originally in GitLab, then moved to GitHub in 2023. Ah. Sad. I'm totally not biased towards GitLab. That's not because I've like at this point close to 15 years of experience with that thing, at least since it was out. So my personal favorite is GitLab. Yeah, I think it's gonna be 15 years next year. I see more people typing. All I know, awkward silence. Let's see, I'm biased towards GitHub since that's what most projects are on. Plus, I bumped into one of the dev at a bar last week, so I have to a hotline to fix issues. Don't worry, I know plenty of people that work on GitHub directly. For those who don't know, my day job is to base is also in CI/CD, and I'm basically the local Git expert. On CI/CD experts. So I basically migrate stuff back and forth from GitLab, GitHub, Bitbucket, on you name it. I probably used it or did something with it. So yeah, I talk with GitHub people like at least once a week. Well, one big frustration of mine with GitHub has been that reporting people is like spam is very hard to do. There is a setting per organization that you can enable to have faster reporting, but then by default, actually let me check if it's still the case. But by default, you need to click on at least 4 or 5 different buttons to actually report a post. Let's see. I'm gonna go on some random repos and see if it's still the case. Yeah, it's still the case. For instance, if I go on some random pull request on the Torvalds/Linux repo, if I click on the 3 dots on somebody's comment, it's just copy link. There is no report button there. In the past, it made reporting some spam we got on the Resonate issue tracker pretty annoying to take care of. And Grant says, time to reboot the funny Linux distro. I'll be back. Yeah, hopefully nothing breaks in the meanwhile. Almost sounds like reporting an ad on YouTube. Yeah, it's like usually moderation. And I know this is a criticism also brought up about Resonate as well. That usually reporting moderation on external needs to be accessible, like least number of clicks possible. And yes, I know Resonate would have a lot of benefit from having in-game reporting for both bugs, people, on basically support tickets, for instance. That like user experience wise, that would be the best. New Karakun, have you ever benchmarked Resonate running on Linux versus Windows? Back pre-splitting, well, not benchmarks per se, but more like I noticed on Linux that Resonate ran a bit, like slightly better than on Windows pre-splitting. I haven't done any test myself about that, but I think you could ask Decoy. I think he has done some benchmarking of Resonate for that video about the splitting. So he might have more numbers about this. New Karakun asks, what sort of automated tests do you do for Resonate builds to check for Linux support? Not at the moment. There is still more work before that. Basically setting up the whole pipeline first. At some point I want to move some repos around and etc. So that's still something very much in progress. For now, there's not many tests, but that's something that will come with time and etc. Otherwise, on my own, I usually test new updates on both my Fedora machine and my Red Hat Enterprise Linux machines. And I know Cyro was mentioned. Cyro runs, I forgot what he runs. I think some Arch derivative. I forgot. But yeah, I think Arch or some Arch derivative. So we at least have those data points. Usually if it works on Arch on Fedora, it should work on pretty much anything. But yeah, in the future, it would be nice to spin some kind of container to just see if, for instance, the headless launches and stuff like that, if everything behaves correctly. Well, basically tests, as you mentioned. And of course, everything fully automated, so you can't make a mistake of a misclick or anything. Oh, by the way, we're having a new Fedora version this evening, Fedora 43, which should be out soon. Let's see, is it out? I haven't kept up with the news today. No, still not. I'm pretty excited about Fedora 43. We're getting a new GNOME version, some goodies library-wise. No Steam Link on Linux should work on Fedora without any issues. There was some issues with an old Mesa version. But yeah. Orion asks, what are you planning on doing after ARM support for the headless and some of the important CI stuff is done? Anything you're excited for? One thing I want to try, and I've seen some people ask for it, and I know it's not the most popular platform, but trying to at least lay more groundwork to have Resonate support on iOS, on macOS more specifically. The target will most likely be M series processors like M1 to M5 because, well, those are the most recent ones. So yeah, I think I'll try to at least make it ready to be ported over to macOS. We're still limited, of course, by Unity at the moment when trying to build like for Linux and etc. So the native version of the graphical client will have to wait a bit longer. Finally, I don't have to boot up my power-hungry Windows machine on Parsec over what internet connection I have at the time. Yeah, the overall goal would be making ResNet as accessible as possible. Like I know lots of people are against a Quest build, but honestly, a Quest build would be really nice because like it's just, well, you download it on the Quest store or whatever, you click and there you go, you're directly in game. You just play. You can't do better accessibility wise. I can't wait for somebody to make some kind of console-based client where you can move an avatar through the console. That would be very fun. Or, I don't know, ASCII renderer for Resonate. That would be also really, really cool to see. Is that a challenge, lol? I guess you could just reuse some of the work done with the Godot one, which I've seen as is already pretty far in implementing the custom renderer. I like seeing like third-party projects like that. It's nice. He says, well, I mean, accessibility to the software itself is fine, but like the UI in-game has canonical programmer feel to it. Yeah, that's why lots of the interfaces and etc. are being remade with like less programmer art, basically. It's the same as when they redid all the textures in Minecraft. Basically, slowly replacing everything by proper design instead of being just a result of just, yeah, well, I made this because it needed to work. Climber says, I think someone made an ASCII 3D renderer. Yeah. Denison, I had to double check, but Fedora 43 actually uses our library for default background. No, if only we got the new version finished first. Oh, interesting. Which library is that? Winbot looks interesting for working on wine proton quirks, although I'd like to see some implementation of it as a fairly awkward compatibility layer doesn't require full flat Windows installed, so Nano comes to mind. I mean, one thing that I'd be interested in is the ability to have access to Resonate when you're not necessarily in Resonate, like where your contacts are, from web pop-up notification, maybe a way to have Resonate open while doing something in Steam VR. Yeah, I know that the account website will be reworked at some point to include like context inventory management and a bunch more features than what it is now. But then, yeah, something like, well, if you followed a bit the social media channel in here, I've seen some repost about and some app that can see where your friends, like a desktop app that can see where your friends are in Resonate, which I find pretty cool. It's like, Recon as well can be used. I like those funny companion apps that people make. An official phone app. Yep. Recon. Not all the functionality is there in Recon, but you can already do a lot with it. There was another one that Fruks reposted recently. Give me one sec. Where is it? Yeah, it's that one. Oh, nice. Libjpeg Excel. I see. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I could ramble about the format for hours, but another time maybe. I know that in the which one was it? Optimizing Resonate screenshot folder or something like that, a thread. Maybe you've seen it. They talk to great lengths about JPEG, Excel, and etc. Hopefully, when the format becomes a bit more popular, we'll support it in Resonate, which would be cool as well. Right now, I submitted Avif to be implemented like a long time ago now, because just for one reason, I know Avif has a lot of drawbacks compared to JPEG Excel. No need to tell them. I know about it. It's mainly for the fact that Google Images is rolling out Avif Images. So the issue is that I don't want a new player to just grab some image of Google, paste it in Resonate, and just see the file icon thing pop up instead of the proper image. That's the only reason. We've been working on a mod to replace free image to support newer formats. Reading works already up. Yeah, I've seen using libvips, right? I know the silence is really awkward, but I see people typing, so I'm waiting for that. No stress though, take as much time as you need to type. MPV shall also come to resonate the day I make videos to make video no suck. Yeah. Videos are evil. Well, graphic stuff in general is evil. Nuki Raccoon, so apparently there was a leak this morning that AMD is going to be releasing X3D CPUs with 192 megabytes of L3 cache. That's a bit wild to me. Any relevant thoughts on CPU cache size? Does anyone know who Resonate benefits from it exactly? Specific thoughts? I don't know. Resonate benefit from it? I think it does, right now I don't think I could go into the details. Maybe somebody with a bit more brain capacity than me tonight can explain that. At some point. Working on this. Ooh, that looks really cool. Resonator. Yeah, that looks pretty nice. Are you g Oh no. Okay, my question that I was about to ask is answered by the tabs on top. Contacts, home, inventory, sessions. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So noticing in the bottom, you're ultimately doing real time. I think Recon only does API. So I'm just gonna check on the if there are any new. Oh yeah, I see the Fedora infrastructure team chat is lighting up like a Christmas tree right now. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we have about 6 minutes left, so we're gonna take in the last questions within that time. I could stay lo on longer, honestly. This is my microphone still reset to the wrong setting. Great. You should be able to hear me a bit better now. Crane, do you have any tips for getting hired in tech starting out? Unfortunately, not really. The best one, well, yeah, the best one I could say is that to know people, to meet people. Because most of, yeah, the current job market is like, yeah, as Orion said, suffering. So the best way to get a job is basically to know some guy in some company that knows internally. Oh yeah, there's this role internally, but I could slide your CV in there. It's sad to see. It's like, yeah, I don't have proper advice for this. Let's see, kinda. The original plan was libvip, so it doesn't support BMP. Now I have things to say to anybody using BMP. So that we OIIO. I do not know about that one. Let's check it out. Who's dev? I've had fights with because they don't read my PRs to fix their broken implementation. The quality setting was always making lossless files. Flux was in native AVIF implementation, so DM them. Help with JPEG, so they were interested. Never got response, but it's taken a while to gain traction too. Right now, in discussion with media dev. Oh, adding support to Mozilla would be great. Apple, a full support in Chrome is, Chrome. Yeah, don't worry about the text wall. Honestly, having proper support in Firefox would already be a huge step in the adoption of GXL. Grand, I already have a software engineering degree, so would apprenticeship even help? I have sadly no idea. To be completely truthful, I completely dropped out of my studies to go work, which is not a really good strategy. If you can finish your studies, finish them. The degree can be worth a lot for some companies, so don't drop out. But I have no idea nowadays. I finished my studies for like a year now. Yeah, not sure if an apprenticeship would help at this point. But yes, Quack says, I know the pain myself. Junior position, 5-year experience, full stack, CI/CD, cloud knowledge. Yeah, it's hell. They basically want senior, junior engineers nowadays. Yeah, I'm gonna make it sound even sadder, is that my first proper tech job, where I wasn't like, well, tech job, I mean, programming on etc. I got it by sheer luck. So that's even sadder than anything else I've said about this subject. So, I don't have any advice on this. Not sure if anybody has any real advice on this, to be honest. Okay, the whole industry is like, yeah. Sometimes I regret a bit. Some part of me wish I would have studied woodworking instead. I don't know. Good evening, Jack. You're catching us really at the end, like at the last minute. Woodworking is my backup plan. Damn! My grandpa used to be a woodworker. I remember helping him a lot in his workshop when I was small. Oh yeah, Quack, that's a really good advice. Don't be afraid to bullshit. In an interview in like companies, your goal is to try and skip HR to talk to the technical people. Once you add the technical people, that's the easy part. Jack says, I don't have any woodworking skills, but it's something I could see myself getting into. The big thing is to watch where your hands are and not lose any fingers. I think those are the two big rules in there. I don't even get to interview. Yeah, that's the issue. I think I still have some stats from my last job search, like large job search. I sent something like 700 job, I replied to like 700 something job posting, and I only got like 50 responses total. Most of them being like, yeah, sorry, the role has already been filled, or no, we're not hiring at the moment, sorry. Yeah, it's like. Not great. On I see that the time has elapsed. We're going a bit over right now. So thank you everybody for coming to this purple hour. The next one will be, let's see, on the 18th of November, so next month on Tuesday, the third week of the month. Third week of the month. Technically fourth. Yeah, fourth week of the month. Yeah, thank you everybody for coming. As you can hear, I'm very tired, so I'm probably gonna go take a nap now. See you all around.